Our special guest today, Zen Cryer DeBrook. We're talking about her book, Your Inner GPS. So check in with us and share some of your stories, or perhaps you have a question too. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. We are with Zen Cryer DeBrook, and we'll get to your calls in just a second here. They're lining up for you, Zen. You enjoy doing what you do, I can tell.
Yes, I do. I'm living my purpose, George.
Yeah, you really are. How many people do you think you've helped over the years?
Oh, goodness. We're up in probably the low of 20,000 range.
Wow. Now, and that's directly. What about all these people indirectly, like the millions who are listening to you tonight?
I know. Who knows? I am excited, though. This is an amazing opportunity for me to get to reach people and let them know about this. I want to thank you, George.
You and I were talking before the break about negativity, about people who don't believe, and you said it still works for them. That's amazing, because other psychic things don't work for people with that negativity. Why does this?
You know, it's interesting. I think it's just because it's something that we all have, and you know, even that first exercise, it may not work for every person because you don't know what they're thinking in the moment. They may be mentally distracted, but I've literally had people sitting in my courses and audiences and speaking and come up to me afterwards and say, I was not going to feel it. I was absolutely not going to feel it, and I did, and you've convinced me. But I didn't want to feel it. I just want to think all this stuff is BS, and I still felt it. And so it's interesting. I don't know exactly why. I think it's because it's important. I think it's important that people listen to this part of themselves so they can navigate their own lives and have discernment, especially now with all the craziness that's going on in the world. I think it's incredibly important for us to be able to navigate our own choices and lives and not be influenced by outside things that are not quite truthful, shall we say.
So if you're at a party, somebody comes up to you and says, Zen, hi, this is so-and-so, what do you do for a living? What do you tell them?
Depends on the situation, but I tell them that I teach people how to follow their inner wisdom and how to have a deep sense of knowing that they're on the right track in life.
All right, and then they say, well, what do you mean by inner wisdom? What's that?
And I say that I found that I've done research over the years, I'm still doing it, and that I've found that each and every one of us has this internal guidance system. If you'd like, I can give you a second, take a second to give you an exercise to feel for yourself, and we can talk about it from there. I like to get people feeling it for themselves so that it's not some convoluted idea. I like them to be able to, you know, like, step into like, wow, I felt that. Now tell me what that is. That's my biggest thing. And I also had another really good trick that I do. I ask them what color a yield sign is in the United States. Do you know what color a yield sign is?
Yellow.
Actually, that's what most people say. And the color of a yield sign is red and white. And you'll have to look this up on Wikipedia. And for all of you who's out there racing to Wikipedia, please do. It was changed in 1971.
Well, some of the signs I've seen are still yellow.
I know, that's what everybody says, and I'll give you $100 if you take a picture of one and send it to me. You got my email, and I've never had anyone send me one.
I will look for that now.
Okay, but in 74, they were all changed to red and white, and the reason why this is important, the reason why I bring this up is, we have these places where we're totally convinced in our lives about things, our limitations, our worth, our relationships with others, how people talk to us. And there are yield signs that are in our mind that need to be updated, and there isn't a system to do that. And I believe and have found to be true that this internal guidance system, it uncovers these yield signs, these yellow yield signs, and updates them to red for us so that we can get past our own limitation and blocks.
I'm going to look for this. I want that $100.
You got it. Deal. Anyone else out there, too, has
now,
to
what
an
is,
actual
it,
yield sign that I can actually have somebody
it,
else prove.
Is it possible that the state here in Missouri, for example, that they left the old ones up?
It could be, but since it was all changed, they say that they were all changed nationally by 1974.
But I win if I find one.
Could be. Find one, yeah.
Even if it's the state's fault for not changing it.
That's fine. I have no problem if you all can right. find one. That's great. No Photoshop, though. I did have somebody try to trick me with a Photoshop.
I can understand why your husband got angry with you in Mexico. I know, I'm kidding.
We get along pretty good. We just had a bad day.
All right, let's go take some calls. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
We'll go to Randy in Wyoming, driving around somewhere on the wild card line. Randy, you're on with us. Go ahead. Randy?
Yeah.
You're on. Go ahead.
Hey.
Just turn down your radio a little bit, if you would.
Okay, yeah, I got it. My boss was talking to me. But anyway, when back in like 85, we went on a trip down the coast in Oregon all the way down to Los Angeles. Anyway, when I left Los Angeles, I was down to like $20. So I was going to call my credit union when we got to Whiskey Pete's in Nevada and get some money. Well, I forgot about the hours difference time in Nevada That's and right. Wyoming, and they was closed. So I started into, it was a weekend, and I started into that weekend with $20. We went down an eight, and I had $3 left. And I thought, I told the wife, says, I'm going to have to go down and find the machine that's going to hit. And I went down, I watched this machine, and I watched it, and I watched it, and I thought, that's the machine. And I put that $3 in that machine and hit the first, I mean, the very first pole hit $300.
And,
So anyway, then shortly after that, I walked back in this section they had closed, and in the tray, the tray was full with quarters. So anyway, the next morning I get back to the room, and I had coats, and I bought the whole family all kinds of stuff. But my tuition or whatever was going on that night was just really weird, you know.
And how much would you have asked the credit union for? The $300, or did you get more than you needed?
I would have got, that's about what I was going to get, was to get us back home, get us back to Wyoming.
Just enough to get back.
Yeah.
That's a great story. Yet it comes when you least expect it, doesn't it, Zen?
It does. It does. And when you trust yourself.
We've got a numerologist. Her name's Glynis McCants, and she says put a number 8 in your wallet or your purse, and that will give you newfound money. And some people have done that, and I've gotten some incredible stories about stuff like that too. But that's like an affirmation, which is similar to what you're talking about.
Yes. Yes, it is. In fact, I tell people to use their internal guidance system, make sure the affirmation opens them, and then that means that affirmation is true for them and will happen.
Tell me the story about the attorney who wanted to be an artist.
Oh, yeah. This is the thing, we get off track in life, and we don't know it. So I was working with this attorney. I do coaching, and I said, okay, so what do you want to create? What do you want to do? What do you really want to have in your life? And he said, well, I want to buy a house in Marin County and get married. And I was like, okay, well, you're not too fired up about that. And I can feel other people's openings. That's part of the way I work with people, is I support them in knowing. I can feel their opens and closings, and I double check with them. And I said, you know, you're not open. You're kind of at a neutral here. And are you sure that's what you want? He said, yeah. So we tried coaching for several coaching sessions, and we just couldn't get him over this neutral barrier. And finally, one coaching session, he calls me up and he's on fire. I just got back from this art festival, and it was so amazing, and I've always wanted to be an artist, and I just, you know, I became an attorney because my dad became an attorney, and I really wish my life had turned out different. And every time he said, I really want to be an artist, he would have this huge opening, like this gush of energy that's just expanding. And I was like, you've got to be an artist. This is your path. And he goes, I can't. There's just no way I can be an artist. My dad, he was an attorney, and my grandfather was an attorney, and they both became judges, and I'm going to be an attorney and become a judge, and that's just what it is, and it would just cause too much havoc in my family. I can't do it. Finally, we coached him to do it. It did cause havoc in his family. It was just miserable for him for a little while, until finally one day his dad calls him up, and he had gone to Paris to study, and he was doing painting and all this, and his dad calls him up and says, son, I'm really proud of you, because, you know, actually, I never wanted to be an attorney. I always wanted to be a furniture maker. I love wood. And he did. His dad retired and opened up his own little shop and made Quaker furniture. That was his dream. He loved wood and Quaker furniture. So when we follow our openings, other people are able to get to their openings too.
That's great. Rich is in Peanut, Pennsylvania, east of the Rockies. Good morning, Rich. Rich, you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk a little bit. I love your guest tonight.
Thank you.
I hope that what I'm going to say your listeners appreciate.
And I need you to turn on your radio too, Rich, if you would.
Oh, okay.
getting some feedback. Okay, good.
Okay.
Thanks. Go ahead.
Sorry. No, you were talking about your keys in the tray. And my mom lives in California. I live in Pennsylvania, but I lived in California. And we do a lot of cooking and baking and make our own cookies and breads and stuff. And, you know, we'd be looking for something, and it would be right there 1 minute, and then it would be like, where'd that go? And we would just look at each other, and it was like you kind of said gnomes, you know. There's things that happen, and I would really like an explanation of how I lose stuff and then find it in the same place that I look already, just like you did.
Yeah, that happens a lot. How does that happen, son?
How does that happen? And you know, the space-time continuum, whatever, I'm not sure about that. Can I just really say this one story that really affected my life?
Yeah, absolutely, Rich. Go ahead.
Okay. In the early 80s, I got married. We had twin girls. And this is like 1984. And we had to move into a house. I was living with my dad and my brother and in a business, a bar, a tavern, and we couldn't, you know, raise our kid in that atmosphere, so we had to rent a house. So we looked in our little town. Can I say the name of the town?
Yeah.
Okay, Sheldon, Wisconsin.
Okay.
And we found this place, $125 a month rent, and we moved in. And the day we moved in, you know, we were washing the kitchen walls and, you know, cleaning up the cupboards. And you know, good friends of ours had lived there, and they were, the last thing they had to get was the stove, and they got the stove out, and we were, so we're working all day, you know, bleach water and cleaning this whole house, okay? And we're making plans for our kids because we're going to have twins. And we're upstairs, and we're talking about, okay, that's going to be the kids' rooms. We're going to put the cribs there and this and that, whatever. And we walk down the stairs from upstairs down the stairs, and there's only one light switch. And we were talking about being, you know, frugal and saving money on electricity. And we both shut the light switch off. And, okay, so now we're back down in the kitchen and cleaning up and getting ready to go home. It's about 10 o'clock at night. And when we went to go home, back to the bar, you have to walk across the kitchen to turn off the light switch in the kitchen.
Okay.
And we did that, and as soon as we turned off the light switch in the kitchen, the light upstairs was still on. And we both looked at each other. We didn't say a word. We walked out. We got in our truck. And silent, we were just kind of freaked out. And the next day, we had a bartender that worked for us. I brought it up to her because she used to live in that house also. And I said, you want me to tell you a really cool story? And she goes, oh, are you talking about the lights? And she said that, you know, she knew all about it. All the people that lived in that house had the same experience.
Wow. Now, one would think it's a short circuit, but I guess not, is it?
No. And then here's her husband. Had actually woke up one night in bed, in the same master bedroom upstairs, and he saw a lady dressed in white lace, a white lace dress, kind of like pretty close to like a wedding dress, just standing there at the end of the bed. And he could tell it was a ghost because you kind of like see through it. It was like translucent. And all these stories about that house, and that always kind of, you know, I love your show, and you know, you know, you get all kinds of crazy things going on in the world. But I tell you what, we don't really know what's going on in the world.
No, we don't, Rich. We really don't. Thanks for the story. Thanks for calling in. And Zen, it's just another example of the very strange things that occur, isn't it?
Yes, yes. I myself have had different kind of haunting things go on. It's eerie when it happens. You get a chill up your spine, you know?
A lot. Again, we talked about this last hour about the similarities between what you've been teaching people and what you call your inner GPS and intuition. How close is that line? It's got to be close.
You know, I think I would imagine that the information comes from the same source, and that makes the line close. It's just the way the information shows up and what you get information about. I've been intuitive for many, many years, very successful at it, and I can't use my intuitive gifts for my own life. I can on little things like finding keys, you know, but as far as like bigger things, finding out, you know, what path I should take and like the things that I coach other people in, business decisions that they make and, you know, big decisions, I have to go to my friends who are intuitive to get that information. But with my internal guidance system, it's completely locked into my own life, and I can get information about what to do and how to do it and when to do it very specifically. So that's, I think, where the difference is I think one is I think my intuitive gifts are there for others to benefit from,
mm-hmm.
and my internal guidance system is 100% locked into me personally, and each person that uses it reports the same thing. It's about their life and what's happening for them and supporting them and having health and harmony in their life and success.
Let's get a call in if we can. Rick in Olympia, Washington. Go ahead, Rick.
Hello again, George. This is Rick, the quantum pharmacist again.
There you are.
And I am here. I love your work and your guests, and that pattern of expansion and contraction. I've been doing research for about 20 years, and I believe that is an embedded pattern within existence. And the reason we're able to feel and cognize these in our brain and our feelings and in our mind is because there are finer structures of the nervous system, of the connective tissue, that allow these feelings to be felt, because it's an embedded process. Now, you mentioned the neuroplasticity, and there are structures, some called microtubules, and actually the genetics themselves, there is a coiling process, an uncoiling, incoiling, and an outcoiling expansion that is ongoing inside of us that we interpret as feeling expanded or constricted. And I think the constrictedness, when we feel a destructive pattern taking place, that's more of an entropic pattern of destruction, of spiraling into a chaos and more disorder.
Yes.
And I had a story regarding that. I got a little invention that helps to expand these microtubules and the processes in the body to bring about a quick healing process within seconds. And I've been doing it like many, many years and thousands of people. And one day I was walking past this dictionary in my house that my wife brought home from Goodwill. It's one of those old-fashioned 6-inch thick ones. And I ponder this question all the time. Okay, how does all this stuff happen? And I was walking past the dictionary, and something stopped me and said, "Oh, ask the dictionary." And I thought, that's just ridiculous. So I had to, but I felt a constriction, like you said, when I was not going to do it. But then when I said, "Okay, I'll do it," then I felt an expansion. So I said, "Okay, just open it up, pop your finger down." So I posed the question, popped open the dictionary, plopped my finger down, and the answer was syntropy.
It was right there for you. It works. We'll be back with final calls. And welcome back. Our final segment with Zen Kriya DeBrook, as we're talking about her work, your inner GPS. Where do you get the book, by the way, Zen?
It's on Amazon. Your inner GPS is its title, and that's the best place. It's also in bookstores if you want to, but most people want immediate gratification or a Kindle nowadays.
Yeah, they do. And what compelled you to finally write this?
You know, I believe that if I get... enough people using this, that things are going to dramatically change. There's solutions that get provided by people. I'm working with business leaders who are using this to make new ways of doing business that are really in harmony and healthful for independent citizens. And so I have a mission that I'm on to really get people to use this tool and let this divine wisdom come through them so they can be a part of this transformation we're in.
And your website is zeninamoment.com, right?
Yep, zeninamoment.com. And there I have a free video series that teaches people how to use this. You just sign up and you'll get the video series and you'll be off and running and using this in your life on a regular basis.
Super. And we've got that link for you at coasttocoastium.com. Okay, let's go to final calls here. Frank in San Antonio, Texas. Welcome to the program. Frank, go ahead.
Hello. Thank you, George, for taking my call.
First, you're welcome.
Of all, I just want to say I listen to you a lot and much respect.
Thank you.
I have a little story, you know, about this inner guidance because, you know, I use it a lot, not knowing or not putting in that perspective as an inner guidance. For instance, I have a question in the little story. A cousin of mine didn't know his dad for 30 years. For some reason, his mom, you know, they kept it from him, or maybe she didn't know. None of us never really asked about my cousin's father. We just kind of accepted it. And, you know, I would always ask him, hey, come to this place with me. Come to this, you know, tavern that I go to, you know. He just never, you know, things had, you know, he was in a situation to go. Well, and for some reason, I just kept on asking him because, like you said, that inner guidance never told me to give up. Hey, it doesn't, you know, just one day he'll come or whatever have you. Well, certain things happened in his life where he made that decision to say, hey, you know what, I'll go with you. I know you've been inviting me for several years or whatever have you. And I say, hey, come on, you know, he's like, okay, you know what, I'll be there on this certain day. Well, we go to this local tavern I go to, you know, they have, it's a friendly place, you know, a lot of older people, a lot of friends there. Well, finally, this, you know, my cousin gets to go with me. He's there, and he starts talking to some of my friends. I say, hey, you're going to be treated like family here. You know, it's going to be all nice and dandy. Well, he starts talking to this one guy, and this one gentleman that I know very well, and he starts asking certain questions. And I tell my cousin, I'm like, hey, man, why are you asking this guy questions like that? Those are pretty personal questions. And my cousin, I'll never forget, my cousin looked at me with these open eyes, and this you know, this look on his face, and he tells me, hey, I think that's my dad. And I'm like, no, that, you know, you're just having too much fun. This can't be, man. This is 30, you know, we've known you all your life as your dad being this mystery man, and only your mom and the grown-ups know what really happened 30 years ago, and us, you know, nephews don't really know. And he's like, no, man, over the years, my mom, you know, gave me some indications, you know, so I kind of know something about him. And I'm like, okay, well, I thought you didn't know anything. And he's like, no, I know a few things. And this guy that we're talking to, he answered yes to all of them. So I'm like, oh, you know, it's a life-changing event. So about, you know, a few months later, when we had the courage to ask this guy, hey, you know, my cousin thinks I asked him, hey, I think my cousin thinks you're his dad. And so he's like, okay, well, let's just find out, whatever have you. Sure enough, they do the DNA test, 99.99%, that's his dad. And, you know, it's a spiritual thing, like with your guest, you know, I look at it as a spiritual thing. But if we don't have that inner guidance, then those spiritual things probably won't happen as much for people. You know, it's like that saying, you know, everything happens for a reason. So, I mean, that story gets more complicated than that. But, you know, I don't want, you know, I thank you for letting me speak. And my question is, what's the opening feeling and thought? Like, you know, what's the opening thought and what's the closing thought? Because I heard your guest say that a few times.
Yeah, thank you. So an opening thought and a closing thought are unique to you. As you're going through your life, you'll be, and you're thinking, you know, whatever you're thinking as you're going through your day, you can be thinking, it's time to go to the post office, and you might feel a little anxiety feeling. That means, nope, it's not time to go to the post office. It's time to do something else. It could be as simple as guiding your day like that, or it could be you having a thought of having a conversation with your boss, and you want to ask for a raise, and you keep thinking that he's not going to give it to you, and you get this closed feeling inside, this little, you know, knot in the pit of your stomach. That means that you should ask for a raise and that you will most likely get the raise. And if you hold the thought, the opening thought would be, huh, I'm closed at this, so that means I should ask for a raise. Ooh, I just got that light feeling inside. Yes, I need to talk to him about making more money. So that would be like opening and closing. And it's unique to every individual as they're going through their life.
Julie is in Columbus, Ohio. Hi, Julie. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Thank you. And
sure.
Hi, Zen. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
Good. No one's ever been able to explain this, how this happened. But about 30 years ago, I was in my 20s. I went on a survival training course through what's similar to Outward Bound, but it's called National Outdoor Leadership School out of Lander, Wyoming. And we were about 10 days into the mountains in the Wind River Range. And I started getting this, what you call, this horrible pit in my stomach feeling. And I talked to the leaders about it. They said, well, it could be, oxygen is less up here. You just get acclimated. Anyway, 3 days later, I said, I have to walk out. I cannot go any further. So everybody was angry, disappointed. There were about eight people involved in this. So they gave me a topographical map and said, you know, hike that way. By the end of the day, you'll come to an opening where there are some guys who'll be rounding up horses. I don't know how they knew that, but I think they had some, like, walkie-talkies or something. Anyway, I hike all day. I have no recollection of the hike. I get, it's dusk, and there's the truck, and the guys are going. Anyway, I fly home the next day, lying in bed thinking, what happened? And a friend of mine called from the hospital, from the group, and said, how did you know? And I said, how did I know what? She said, when you left, about an hour after you left, the snowstorm came in, and we got sucked in, and everyone in the group was in the hospital due to various frostbite issues. Now, I understand. You know how animals know when something's going to happen, so they go to a different area, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. So,
okay, so
the pit of the stomach there is it's where your belief system. There's three different areas of your internal guidance system, and that's where your belief system is. I would imagine that you spent probably those 3 days trying to talk yourself into staying, even though you felt sick to your stomach. Would you say that's true?
Absolutely.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm there.
Yes, I'm here. Would you say that's true, that feeling, trying to talk yourself into staying, there's something wrong, but I can't leave, I got to keep going, this is important, I'm on this quest kind of thing?
Absolutely.
So those thoughts were not true. They were out of alignment with what was good for you. And when there's something is out of alignment with what's good for you, it shows up as a closing in the body. And in particular, having a belief that you have to continue doing something that's not good for you to be doing, it'll show up in the solar plex area because it's a belief that you're holding. And so, I bet as you were walking out, that tightness in your stomach started going away. Well, no, probably not, because you probably were arguing with yourself about how you shouldn't have quit.
Yeah.
You know, until they said that, how did you know? That's when it finally probably went away. But you were trying to keep yourself in something that wasn't right for you, and that's why you had that sick feeling in the pit of your stomach.
That feeling, by the way, hits a lot of people, that feeling in the pit.
Yes, it's guidance saying that there's a belief system that you're holding that's not good for you. It's not going to get you. It's not going to create health, harmony, and goodness for you.
Julie, thanks for your call. We've got time for a couple more, I believe.
Great.
Let us go to Alan in Rice, Wisconsin. Welcome to the show. Hi, Alan. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, George and Zen. Thank you for picking up on me.
Sure.
This happened about 25 years ago, right before cell phones were a big thing. And I'm an over-the-road trucker. A good friend of mine moved from Minnesota down to Oklahoma City, in the suburb there by Choctaw. Got married, had a couple kids. And I would pass through there every so often, and I'd call and talk to him and whatever, touch base. And I even went to his place one time. And so it was several years later when I got through there again and I called. It was a big, huge ice and snowstorm through Oklahoma City, and I was shut down there. It was really bad. It was right before New Year's. And I called him up on the landline, you know, payphone, and as soon as he had no idea I was in town or whatever, and he picks up and says, "What the hell do you want? I hate everybody. I hate you. I hate everybody." And he slams the phone down before I could even say a word, you know, and I tried calling him right back. He didn't answer. So I knew something was up, right? You know, it was major, right. You know, something.
He was losing it, that's for sure.
Yeah, so I dropped my trailer, and, you know, like you're saying, having that, in your solar flex, having that tightening, you know, like, I shouldn't go. The roads, a lot of them were shut down because of the ice and wrecks everywhere, but I figured I got to go and try to find him, even though I have no clue on how. I knew the general direction how to get there, but I had really no clue because everything kind of looks alike around where he lived. And but I didn't know what street. I didn't know anything, right? As far as I just knew the general town where he was at, but I had no clue what street he was on or anything. So I take off, and I'm fighting it the whole way, thinking I should just turn around. I make the exit to where I'm thinking where it is. Where he's living, you know, and I go down, and I'm driving around, and I'm looking in the different neighborhoods, and I'm thinking, there's no way I'm going to find this place. Next thing I know, I come up to a hill, and it's glare ice, and there was a car in the ditch, and there was a bunch of people walking around, and I'm in a bobtail track, you know, semi, and I'm thinking, there's no way I'm going to make that hill. It's glare ice, so I just stop at the bottom, and I walk up to them people, and I go, "You everybody okay?" And they're like, "Yeah." And I go, "Hey, by any chance, you don't happen to know a guy by the name of, you know," I said the guy's name. I didn't want to say it on the air. Mm-hmm. But, and I asked them, and they go, you see, I'll start laughing. They go, "You don't want to go over to his house." And I go, "Why? Do you know who he is?" And they go, "Yeah, he just put his truck in the ditch about a quarter mile back. He just walked by here about 45 minutes ago because he was all upset because he had his truck in the ditch and somebody stole his tools while his truck was in the ditch."
Jeez.
And so he's like, I go, "You know where he lives?" They go, "Yeah, we know. We know who he is. He lives about three doors down right over there." I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" And I show up to his front door, and he opened the door, and he had a gun in his hand.
Ugh.
He instantly started crying his eyes out. And I noticed that his whole inside of his house was cleared out. And nothing. He only had one chair, a little black and white TV, and a TV tray stand, you know, like a TV dinner stand, whatever.
You saved his life, Alan.
Well, his wife just find out the day before, his wife filed for divorce, cleaned out every bank account, cleaned out the whole house while he was at work.
Oh, my God.
And, I sat there and talked with him for the next 2 days, and, now everything was good. Everything.
You saved his life. Again, this works, and it really does. We've got 30 seconds left. I want to thank you for being on the program. This happens. You're right. Everybody goes through this, mm-hmm. don't they?
It does. Yes, I just want everybody to start using it consciously because it makes such a huge difference.
It sure does.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Zen. You
yeah,
take care.
Yeah, have them go to zeninamoment.com. There they can just get started.
You got
right
it.
Now.
Okay, anything else you need, you just let us know. Fascinating discussion about these incredible things. Tomorrow on Coast to Coast, after our first hour of news and information, we've got a very special on some Coast Dead People show, we call it. Some great guests who have passed on. For Dan Galante, Donna Walker, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasaur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burleson, George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.